You know, I've given this homily so many times, I'm not even sure I want to give you that one. Maybe I'll try another one out just to see how it goes. This is the very first Mass I ever celebrated. 6 years ago, on the 23rd of May, because Pentecost fell on the 23rd that year, I celebrated Pentecost Mass. It's the very first Mass I ever celebrated. This is the first Mass that I get to hit lucky number sevens on, because, you know, 6 years priest, this is my seventh Pentecost. It's exciting. It's remarkable. I didn't have to preach the first one. I had a guest priest. First Mass, you usually get a guest preacher, that way you have to be less nervous about it. He's no longer in active ministry, so I didn't even call him and ask him how he's doing, because I can't even get a cell phone, because he's not in active ministry anymore. So it's a little terrifying to think about at times, but I try not to dwell on it for too long. The thing that I find most remarkable is that if you ever get a chance to go to a priest's first Mass, it's an incredible celebration. It's a whole lot of pomp and circumstances. There's lots of extras we throw in there. Just for the joy of it, it's so much fun. I celebrated my first Mass, my Pentecost Mass, at my home parish. And every server wanted to be there. And so I don't even know where they found all the elves. I feel like I had about 100,000 servers. They kind of filled every space I could find. They filled both walls. It was shaped, the church very similar to this. They filled both walls. They lined on both sides. They were pouring out of the sacristy. They lined in a side room off to the side. And they actually filled the first three pews on both sides of the church. I had servers, servers, and servers, and servers. They all wanted to be there. They knew that they weren't about taxes for all of them, but they wanted to be there. They wanted to be able to be vested because they were that excited about what was going on. So I let them all come. I don't know where we found all the elves, but we did, because they all showed up and they were all in elves. It was incredible. My classmate was ordained to the Diocese of Joliet, didn't get ordained to the priesthood for 2 weeks after I was ordained. So he was still a deacon when I had my first Mass, and he celebrated as my deacon. We're standing in the back watching row after row of servers. I think we're on like verse 10 of the opening song now, waiting for all the kids to come through. And he looks at me and he says, "Hey, when are the rest of your servers showing up?" And I smiled at him. I thought, what a remarkable thing it is that we got to celebrate Pentecost. That they all got to witness to that moment when the Holy Spirit came upon them and brought people together. I found it amazing. I still find it amazing. I find it truly remarkable. It's this curious moment that we get to witness in a remarkable gift of God, how Pentecost calls us to greater unity. And I know I'm not the only one to draw this comparison, but what amazes me over and over again is that at the moment of Pentecost, you had people of languages of all kinds. And they came together in one place, and everyone spoke of the mighty works of God in a language familiar to strangers. Didn't matter where they were from. They heard the mighty works of God in a language that spoke to them most directly, their first language, whatever that may be. It is the great unifying moment, because it brought them to God. I find this fascinating because if you think about it, we're actually coming full circle in this moment when we celebrate Pentecost. You see, because if we actually go back far enough, we go back to a time when humanity spoke one language and they decided to build a tower to prove that they were as good as God. So they were going to build a tower up to God so they could explain to God how they no longer needed Him. And they called the Tower of Babel. Because it was there that they introduced in the languages of the world. And where the people decided they were going to defy God, proved to Him that they no longer needed Him, language suddenly divided them. And it became a separation, forced them all to go a different way. And as we come full circle, it is that same God who brings them all together in the same language, the language of salvation. Not so they can build a tower so they can tell God they don't need it, but actually quite the opposite, because instead of humanity trying to build a tower to God, the Holy Spirit is now building that bridge that bridges God back to humanity and brings them together in one language so that they all might know the saving power of God. In this great moment with a mighty wind and the splitting of flame and this force of the Spirit Himself coming upon them and filling them and imbuing them with this mighty power, He brings us back together. He unites us. me, I see a sense of irony in this. Every time I talk about the Holy Spirit bringing people together, the Holy Spirit bringing about this greater unity, I sense this irony because when I was growing up, more often than not, the group that was trying to revive an interest in the Holy Spirit, the group that was trying to be most charismatic in their efforts to have the Holy Spirit remembered, was the same group that was trying to divide the church and trying to pick a fight with each other. And oftentimes they were a group that would break away and they would say, well, we know better in this moment at this time. And it caused greater disharmony, which I think is the greatest irony, because the Holy Spirit is supposed to bring about greater unity, not divisiveness. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit that, strangely enough, have continued to make us all kind of scratch our heads and be confused. It always fascinates me, but time and again, Paul actually points out to us, he says, look, there are many gifts of the Spirit. Different spiritual gifts, but one Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God. He writes this letter to Corinthians and explains them very clearly. He says, I understand that you think that because some of you have one gift and some of you have a different gift, that somehow some of you are better than others. And that's not even close to the case. You see, the Holy Spirit gives out gifts to be a witness to the greater glory of God. Not to say that he suddenly likes one person more than anybody else. Well, it's never an estimate that it is these greater gifts that actually should bring about greater unity within us. That should make us better for it. Because it is a great reminder to us that no one of us needs to have all of it all together, all figured out all the time. No one of us has to be God. But rather the Holy Spirit that allows us to come together as a greater whole, as the body of Christ, ever leaning, ever pleading, ever striving to be united with the Holy Spirit in this great wisdom. It is that we celebrate on Pentecost. Don't underestimate that in some ways Pentecost is a great celebration of the fact that we are not little copies of each other, but complementary parts to a greater puzzle. It gives us the great beauty of the image of God. I think about that as I think about my first Mass. My very first Mass, I was up there and I was so nervous. I'm actually nervous now, but I'm always nervous at Mass, but I was more nervous because I'd never done it before. Well, never in front of an audience anyway. You know, I practiced a few times, but it's not the first time I tried to say Mass on that day. I had a little bit of practice. I was trying to get it right. The whole time, there's this little voice always telling me what to do. Say, wait, okay, go. Right there, left page, stop page, start there. Pause, turn. I heard these things. I'd love to tell you it's the Holy Spirit, because actually my master said what he was telling me what to do. But the point is, the Holy Spirit works in a very similar way. Maybe not literally whispering us cues in every second of the time that we're there. But always, always speaking to us, inviting us. And while Pentecost may be this great moment of a mighty wind and loud flame and everyone talking at the top of their lungs, that is more of a completion moment than anything else. What the Holy Spirit does on a daily basis for each of us is that He whispers to us. He whispers to us softly, gently, always inviting, always encouraging, always drawing us in to something greater. We can ignore it. We have no choice. The Holy Spirit constantly invites us into that greater unity. I want to challenge you. I didn't challenge you other groups, but I want to challenge you. As we celebrate Pentecost, that the next time you hear gossip, whatever that gossip may be, about whoever or whomever it may be, I want you to see that person's failings as a reminder to you that all of us are incomplete. And that it is actually all of us coming together in a greater whole that brings about the great beauty, the great power, and the glory of God. The Pentecost is our great unity, not our division. It's our bringing together instead of our separation. Instead of us trying to prove to God that we can do it on our own, it is exactly the moment where God reminds us that we need Him.